Enshrined in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Welcome, everybody, to the Thursday edition of Spouting Off here on WSMN and all over the internet, including Facebook. We are broadcasting. You can grab us at Facebook Live. Well, not at Facebook Live. Go to Facebook and then grab Right America Media, and you will be able to hear and comment on the show. If you want to call in, especially in this first segment, and you're listening live on Thursdays, 1 p.m., 1 p.m. Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday is when Spouting Off happens. And it takes a little effort to find us. All you got to do is go to my website, KarenCataline.com, and it'll tell you where you can find us. Because we have two different networks now, plus a whole bunch more. We're growing. If you'd like to call in, 603-816-1590. That's 603-816-1590. Well, you know, what to talk about. I was going to talk about QE2. And 70 years on the throne. I just don't understand why we worship human beings in the first place and make them royal. Kings and queens and princes and dukes and all of that have been as ubiquitous, shall we say, in human history as human history itself. And for some reason, humans like to make kings and queens of others. Maybe it's that they want to be told what to do, which leads me to a few other issues. I'm not sure, but I think it's better if we don't make gods kings and queens out of men. Leaders, yes. Gods, no. How about that? So I was wandering through my news and I saw this headline, which just spoke volumes to me. As you may know, I got sucked into the Depp Heard trial, and I am pretty pleased with the verdict. Not sure why they gave Amber Heard anything. I didn't think she deserved it. Perhaps the jury thought that they wanted to appear fair, and that somehow the answer or the story or the truth is somewhere in between. In this case, it really wasn't in between. Either Amber Heard was lying about the abuse, which was over the top ridiculous. She was basically calling him a sexual abuser, a rapist, and physical abuse and what have you. It was just totally over the top, and she couldn't prove it. She could not prove any of it. Caught in a bunch of lies. If you watched any part of the trial directly, not what other people said about it, but you went to the source and made your own determination, you might have disagreed with me or with others, but guess what? It was open and available to the public to watch if you chose to. I think it was important for it to be broadcast, this trial. Now that I saw some of it and pulled up actual trial footage online, it took me like 4 weeks into the trial to watch the opening statements, but watch them I did. And I didn't pay attention to huge amounts of commentary, and I think that's best. If you want to watch or comment, whatever, you know, more information is better than less information, especially when you're the one each and every individual is deciding for him or herself what they think, what they believe about anything in their life. How about that for a broad generalization? But come along, last night Who wants to weigh in? I'm so tickled and amused, but horrified by this. VanityFair.com decided to feature an article by none other than Monica Lewinsky. Her verdict on the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? We are all guilty. I'm sorry, but, you know, talk about chutzpah. Chutzpah, meaning gall, absolute arrogant. chutzpah is really the only word I can think of. I mean, talk about gall, yes. Monica Lewinsky, of everybody knows what she's famous for, is going to indict all of us for the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. Yes, you heard that right. Okay, why is she doing that? Because she has an axe to grind about media and our interest, our prurient interest in celebrity. Now, never mind that celebrities go to enormous lengths to craft their images and to make us all think that they are gods and that they are superhuman, and then you find out they're not. And if people get a little schadenfreude, that means a little happiness in the face of other people's misfortune, not exactly the most, nice thing to do, to rejoice in other people's misfortune. But in this case, when celebrities do fall and you find out either they're human or they're more flawed than you could ever imagine. They have wealth, they have fame, they have recognition, they have people around them that fly them around on private jets. They have people who yes them to death and they can have anything they want. And they're miserable, most of them. Not only are they miserable, but they're more flawed than the average Joe. I think those are good lessons if people get them. And furthermore, whenever somebody's crafting this perfect image, think, I don't know, Bill Cosby, you know, Lance Armstrong, Tiger Woods, people who, Bill Cosby was America's dad. Lance Armstrong was supposed to be squeaky clean, but he's not. All of that, these spoon-fed narratives that we are fed by the media, we're fed that on purpose. They want us to think what they want us to think. They want us to put these people on pedestals. But now Monica Lewinsky, who came to fame, I don't know about fortune, for something a little bit less than terrific, is now lecturing all of us that it's our fault that we are interested in celebrities, especially coming from her. It is, talk about insult to injury. I'm going to read just this one little paragraph here. Because the trial has also been available live on our screens, we think subconsciously that we have, are you ready? A right to look and watch. We think subconsciously that we have a right to look and watch. Apparently in Monica Lewinsky's world, we don't. It's on the television. We can watch directly, but we don't have a right. And then she goes on to judge, to comment. And when we end up with this confusing cultural crossover of watching two people whom we are used to seeing as actors acting on a screen in a setting, a courtroom where we would normally expect them to be assuming their characters' roles. So she goes on to tell us that she didn't really watch the trial, but she watched commentary on social media, and she was just appalled at the brave new world of people who think they have a right to comment. All right, the reason I find this amusing and sad, because she didn't partake of the source of the case. Guess what? The jurisprudence, American judicial system, ought to be open to everyone, every citizen. It was particularly valuable to see celebrities, one much more famous than the other, to see celebrities going through the jury process and being questioned as all of us would be in a similar situation. I'm all for people being judged individually and having access to the same court system. As we know in the Durham trial, where there may have needed to be a different verdict than one that came out, that doesn't always happen in the justice system today. But to the extent that we are all have the court system accessible, and accessible by television or YouTube or whatever, I am encouraging people, if you're gonna, I don't want to be like her, Monica Lewinsky, giving you advice. I could suggest go to the source and decide for yourself. People who appoint themselves as all-knowing and telling you what you have a right to look and watch and have an opinion about should be immediately not just suspect, but discounted and ignored. Monica Lewinsky, who claimed that she didn't want to be in the spotlight, but when Vanity Fair, notice the title, Vanity Fair, when they come a knocking to have her write an article, and I'm sure she had this one all set to go. That's why she didn't even mention the verdict, because this one had been in the can for a long time, and it was just sitting there ready to be a clickbait for Monica Lewinsky. How perverse and paradoxical that she's telling the peons like you and I that we don't have a right to look and watch and decide for ourselves and comment, but she can appoint herself, telling us all what to do. You may think I'm being a little bit extra sensitive, but this is endemic of the kind of problem that we have where a pandemic of people who think they have a right to tell you what to do, what to think, how to live, how to behave, what you're allowed to see, what you're allowed to eat, what you're allowed to drive, and frankly, whether you're allowed to live. And that's where those things lead. I'm going to give you a little heads up. We're going to have a return visit of someone that just really knocked my socks off as a guest. His name is Scott Shara, and he lost his beloved daughter by his own accusation. He believes medical malpractice. He sent an email to me this morning saying that he had an update, not only on that story, but about additional information on it. So we're going to let him say his piece. And just because we put people on the air, and I would have more liberals, Democrats, leftists, what have you, if they could stand the scrutiny and answer a question. But unfortunately, they don't seem to believe that dissent is allowed. They don't seem to believe in individuality. That's really the problem. Individual thought seems to be a thing of the past in the leftist ideology. And they were the ones who were the most into individuality. Do your own thing. But not anymore. Most of them have jumped on the bandwagon of, shut up if you don't agree or we're going to punish you. That's pretty much where we're at the moment. But we must resist this because it flies in the face of everything America stands for and has made America great and prosperous. A basic tolerance for individuality, differences of opinion, and civil discourse in this country. We gotta run. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll have our first guest on Spouting Off on WSNN right after this.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone. My producer is telling me I need to take my camera off. I don't even know how to take that off, if you can believe that. I don't know how to do that at the moment. I am technically inept. That's what I am. Oh, good. Somebody else. They're talking to somebody else, not me. You know what? I am inundated with too doggone much technology. I'm getting technology-itis. That's what I'm getting. Let me just tell you this headline because it leads right in to our next guest. Breaking. Oh, I love these headlines. Famous pharmaceutical CEO says that celebrities were caught purchasing fake vaccine certificates. Now, I don't have time to go through the commentary of all this, but how horrendous is this? People who are telling peasants like you and me to get vaxxed, but they purchase fake vax certificates because they have no faith in the vax. The reason this is important leads directly, as I see, into our very first guest. His name is Derek Kenny. We do have him, right, Art? We do.
Yes, we do.
Ready to go. Thank you, Mr. Art. Derek Kenny is changing. He is the CEO of Good Money Framework and host of the popular Good Money podcast. Kenny visits with influential business and thought leaders to inspire you to make more money and use it for good. Known for making complex financial topics easy to understand, and he's been on CNBC, Fox News, CNN, Fox News, Fox Business, and a whole bunch more. Thank you, Derek Kenny, for joining us here on Spouting Off Thursday.
My pleasure, Karen. It's great to be with you today. I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, I am too. The reason I gave out that headline is because the first headline that I was sent in the little pitch that was sent to us, and I'm assuming you heard that celebrities are getting caught in purchasing fake vax certificates
because yes,
they have faith in the vax, but yet they're going to demonize little peons like you and I who don't have any faith in it. And what's the first subject we have from you? Celebrities push crypto, but they're not so vocal now. Talk to us about this one.
You know, it's interesting, Karen, and I think the point you make is one that's in culture today, very pervasive, and that is do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
And this is coming from people who are esteemed as the leaders of society, the actors, the athletes, the people that make the big money that we actually spend a lot of our hard-earned money to go see. And here we're following people who really have no knowledge at all on the topic that they're spouting their opinion on. And which I find right. fascinating, as I think you do as well. You know, crypto is interesting, and it's a topic that really gets a split opinion on. Some people think it's the next demon that's going to take down society. Other people think it may be the next emerging financial investment that people need to be aware of. And here's what I do know. Only time will tell, but personally speaking, I only like to talk about things that I am knowledgeable of, and I am adding money to Bitcoin. I'm buying Ethereum. I'm buying some of these cryptocurrencies because two things. First of all, as we see some of the institutional companies, the Fidelities, the TD Ameritrades, the Chase Banks, and they've got problems of their own, no doubt. But when we see widespread acceptance of this emerging financial technology by those companies, it does give some credibility to it. But also consumers, especially younger
people. Hello. We've lost our guest, haven't we, Art?
Yes, I'm afraid we have. I'll try to get him back.
Weird. Oh, we love this, don't we? The magic of live radio. I'm going to stay on the subject because I have confidence we'll get him
Karen,
back.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me again?
Yes, there you are.
Okay,
there
I'm not sure what happened there. I think it might have been some of those celebrities trying
it's
to cut me off.
Gremlins, yes, it's the technical gremlins. If you remember what you were talking about, please continue.
Well, you know, one of the things that I like about cryptocurrency is obviously as consumers have wider adoption to it. And we know that younger consumers right now, those people out of college, just entering the workforce, upwards of 50% of their portfolio contains some sort of cryptocurrency. So that by itself warrants attention. And we see other companies like Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, the bigger companies adopting that into their 401k. So I think it's a trend that's likely going to be here, but it's one that's going to be fraught with volatility and a lot of conspiracy concerns about the validity of this investment.
Mm-hmm. So let's connect the dots here. Why did celebrities stop pushing crypto when they were before? And you're purchasing it, so connect it up for us.
Well, it's interesting. If you were one of the early adopters when Bitcoin was at zero and suddenly it shot up to 60,000, you made a lot of money. And I hope that you cashed out before the drop occurred. Then what we saw is we saw the technology markets. And for those people listening, think about companies like.
We're having issues. Think about companies like. Okay.
Did it drop off again?
It did again, and I don't know why, but we're going to keep at it with you. I had that problem a few weeks ago. Go right ahead. Think about companies.
Karen, is this better now?
I don't know. You just kind of keep dropping off.
Weird. Okay. But sorry about that.
That's well, okay. Go for it.
One of the main pieces I think that has caused some celebrities to back away a bit has been, you know, we've seen some concerns that is crypto going to drop back down to zero. You know, we saw Bitcoin at $60,000.
Yeah. Number three, and I don't think we're going to be able to continue this conversation. We have about another 10 minutes. We're having some difficulty. It might have something to do with my camera, but we don't have time to go through that right now. At the commercial, I'll get off and see, there you are. You're on the camera. I think that's the problem. It may have something to do with me. Is that you?
Yes.
I see. You're on the camera. I don't have my camera on, so I don't know what's going on. But let's give it one more try. Go right ahead. Say what's on your mind.
Well, Karen, I think right now, you know, Bitcoin is such an emerging technology. And are we likely going to see significant volatility? Yes. It's not for the faint of heart. But one thing that I do know is that when I see a market that's volatile, when I see people criticizing something, oftentimes in history, that has proven to be the exact moment when it was least comfortable, most crunchy, to have bought that investment, because over time, it actually did very, very well for people. You know, it's funny, I'm watching The Big Short right now, a popular movie from several years ago.
I saw that recently, yes.
And it talked about, you know, the financial crisis as it relates to real estate. And it's a warning. When everybody is singing the same tune that this is the best investment, there's nothing that could go wrong, typically that's the precursor for what's about to go wrong. So I think right now, if you're comfortable and you've got money set aside in other diversified places, putting a little bit into Bitcoin or Ethereum, some of these cryptocurrencies, really tipping your toe in the water each week, each month, could be a good way to go long term.
Yeah, let me ask you probably the questions you've heard a whole lot about Bitcoin, and that is, it seems to be a red flag for the IRS. At least that's what I've heard through the grapevine. And secondly, let's start with that one. What's going? Is that true that it is?
Yeah, Karen, the main thing is, you know, the economy giveth and the IRS tend to taketh away is a good philosophy to remember. And what the IRS is looking at is, because it's the Wild West when it comes to investing. You know, when you have a bank, a brick and mortar bank, you go, you make a payment, there's a record of it, there's an automatic tax form that gets generated. With cryptocurrency, up until really last year, it was the honor code. If you made money, it was up to you to self-report it on your tax return. What the IRS said, well, enough of that. We're going to treat this like an ordinary income investment, much like if you bought or sold a house. If you have a gain, you have to report that on your tax return, and the holding companies that have the crypto send the investor tax statements. So that way there's some accountability there, which I really have no problem with. What the issue right now, though, is countries like China, other countries that recognize the great potential that they're missing out on in terms of crypto, they're cracking down in ways that could cause it to drop a little bit. But on the same token, we've got countries that are making crypto their main currency because it's allowing them easily to move money back and forth. So here's what I would tell people is, whenever you have something emerging, there's going to be people that take shots at it. I personally am adding money to it on a regular basis. I think there's a long-term potential here. Am I putting everything I own there? Certainly not. That would not be prudent at all.
Well, let's move on to one other one, because we've got you now, so we want to take advantage of you. We're talking to Derek Kinney, CEO of Good Money Framework. Meltdown exposes hollowness of the libertarian promise. Tell us about that one. I don't see the background on it, so you get to inform me and everyone listening what that means.
You know, it's interesting, Karen, because, you know, many people don't call themselves libertarians, but what that stands for is essentially minimum government. It's low government, high focus on let the economy sort through and solve its own problems. And one of the things we see right now is that government intervention is at a fever pitch. The solution is the government, but we have to realize in most cases, it's the government that causes the problem, then jumps in to try to solve the problem with solutions that simply don't make sense or are unaffordable. And one of the things right now that I think we're all watching is, you know, we saw President Biden basically waive a crazy amount, $50 billion from Corinthian College debt for people. Now, the college itself had problems, major issues there, wiped that debt clean, but it's a precursor that many people anticipate. An article in the Washington Post just the other day says Biden poised to write off $10,000 of student debt for people. And here's my question, Karen. It's one thing for the government just to wipe the debt clean for people of $10,000, but you and I know, we're reasonably smart people, as are your listeners, who's going to pay for that? If the government just wipes it clean, that means at some point you and I pay for that. And the generation behind us pays for that. There's no free lunch, and the free lunches simply don't taste very good. And there's always a cost to those things. So that's what that is about, is we see more and more the government, and it's a stark division between Republicans and Democrats in terms of how we see solving the problems for America. Now, what I believe is
I hate to stop you there, but I don't understand how this is the hollowness of the libertarian promise. It seems to make the case that limited, minimal, or less government is the right approach. It's not hollow. So maybe that little pitch should be rewritten.
Yeah, Karen, we'll let them know to rewrite that pitch.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry to interrupt. Exactly. One of my favorite phrases, the government breaks your leg and then hands you a crutch. In this case, no, they keep you down and they break the other leg. Go ahead.
And that's how it feels to many Americans. You know, it's interesting. Polling numbers right now, when you see them, inflation is the number one financial worry that people have across the aisle. Republicans, Democrats, independents. And until there's a solution, and then we saw yesterday, Janet Yellen, the current Treasury Secretary, said, look, I messed up.
That's rare when they admit anything.
The impact of inflation.
Yeah.
Rare. And then the president said, well, I underestimated it as well. Here's what I would tell people right now. Right now, you simply can't wait for the crumbs off the table. The government's going to scrape your direction. That is not the pathway to long-term financial sustainability or stability.
Cut to the chase. We only have a minute. What is the best thing if you've got cash laying around, but you're concerned about all this inflation? What do you do?
Well, the first thing I would suggest, and a shameless plug, is to go to goodmoneychapters.com, and you can download the first 5 chapters of my new book, Good Money Revolution, for free. goodmoneychapters.com. But having said that, I right now like to gradually add money to the market. We know that inflation may be close to peaking. The problem is
the stock market.
The stock market. Adding money to things like
we have 15 seconds. Index. So sorry. I'm glad you got that plug in there. That was very important. People can go there and learn more from Derek Kinney, K-I-N-N-E-Y. Thank you so much for joining us, Derek, and I'm glad we were able to get it going. All right? Take care, and we'll be right back. We're going to have that guest I told you about, Scott Shara, joining us after the break. You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline on WSMN and all points on the internet. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off here on 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM in Nashua, New Hampshire. We are waiting for our guests, and he will hopefully be joining us shortly. The reason I wanted to bring him on for a follow-up is that, for one thing, he sustained a tragic loss. And boy, you know, we are watching it's reminiscent of the horrors that we saw in Uvalde last week. This is a man who lost his daughter in a hospital. And he says to medical malpractice. You may remember, if you were listening that day, that she and he were put in a hospital for COVID, but the treatment that was given to her was deadly, was fatal. They said one of the really indictable offenses was when they insisted that this Down syndrome young woman, about 20 years old, was a DNR, do not resuscitate. Why would any parent have a do not resuscitate order in the first place? And why would they impose one on them? Do not resuscitate usually means, I don't know, but it usually means someone who's 90 who is suffering from health concerns. And a doctor looked at his daughter's. We've got him here. And I'm going to just stop there because I'm wandering all over the place. And I just want to welcome Scott Shara back to the program. Scott Shara, the father of Grace and proprietor of ouramazinggrace.net. And he's become a bit of an activist. Welcome, Scott Shara, to Spouting Off. You're with Karen Cataline.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Can I hear you?
Right,
not
good.
Too much.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
I have my earbuds in, but I can't. Cables again here.
Oh my, we're having some technical difficulties, aren't we? Why don't you go ahead and speak and see if we can hear you here? And
right.
Yeah, you're not coming through clearly, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you try speaking now and see if we can get you? Go near a window. That's what I always tell everyone. You're on the phone, so go near a window and see if we can't get a good connection there. Go ahead. We don't have Scott. All right. He's gone. We don't have Scott. I'm going to finish this story. It is unfortunate. I don't know if we'll have him back or not. It's a good thing that I love live talk radio and that what, please do call him Art, our producer, call him on the phone and see if we can't get a good connection. So Scott's Down syndrome daughter was put in the hospital for COVID and was given a tranquilizer that was deadly. They didn't have any other drugs on board. There were all kinds of warnings for that tranquilizer. And the smoking gun, shall we say, of the story that then hopefully he won't have to tell was that the doctor in charge kept pointing to the fact that Scott and his family were Christians. They refused remdesivir. They weren't vaxxed. And somehow, perhaps, possibly, he charges that the doctors gave his daughter a fatal dose of tranquilizer. She stopped breathing and they refused to help to revive her. That's a pretty scary, awful thing. Looks like we have Scott back now, do we?
Hi, Karen. Can you hear me now?
Oh, so much better. We love that.
Oh, fantastic.
We love that. You know what? I spent a little time telling from my perspective your story. Why don't you pick it up there? And since we have so little time, especially since we had a few technical difficulties, why don't you tell our audience what's new, what do we need to pay attention to, and why you're spending all this time, and thank God you are. You're speaking out, speaking the truth, even putting up billboards about your daughter Grace's story. Go ahead.
All right. So yeah, we do have a dozen billboards up right now. It's been a wonderful campaign. The reason we're doing this is because there's two serial killers loose in Appleton, Wisconsin, and we know where they live and where they work. And they're not the only ones. We've learned of a lot of other serial killers loose, and we're not going to stop until the serial killers are not killing anymore.
Let me stop you there for a minute, okay, Scott? This is explosive. Now, you're not naming names, but this is explosive. After having just watched a defamation trial, Johnny Depp and all of that, these are pretty explosive charges. Without naming names, how do you come to the conclusion that there are serial killers? And what did they do to earn this moniker, in your opinion?
There's three things, and it's not my opinion. It's my opinion they're serial killers, but you tell me that they're not when you hear the three things. The three things are they gave her a combination of meds, Presidex, lorazepam, and morphine in 29 minutes that nobody could have survived. So just that's step one. And consider, in order for that to happen, a doctor had to order them, a pharmacist had to sign off, they had to override the alarm, and a 14-year ICU nurse delivered the meds. So that's one claim. The second claim, and that's a factual claim. The second one you alluded to when I was listening to you give the backstory, which is the do not resuscitate order. As we have learned since the last time I talked with you, we reviewed another 948 pages that the hospital refused to give us at the first request. On page 853 of that request is the smoking gun, which is literally 8 minutes after they maxed out the dose of Presidex, the doctor put the DNR order on Grace. 8 minutes later. And then when we hollered, save our daughter, she's not DNR. When they told us she's DNR, they refused to step in the room. So that's the second claim. The third one I just discovered yesterday as I was getting ready for Stu Peters, because he wanted me to drill down Presidex. So Presidex was given to Grace 4 full days before she died. That's illegal in and of itself. It's only supposed to be given for 24 hours maximum. The package insert on Presidex says that it causes ARDS, which is acute respiratory distress syndrome. It dawned on me, God put it on my heart right before bed when I was doing this, getting ready for Stu Peters, and I looked up Grace's death certificate. They had listed 2 causes of death. The first cause is acute respiratory failure with hypoxia. That is caused by Presidex.
Tell everybody, hypoxia means a lack of oxygen, correct?
That's correct. Presidex lowers your oxygen and causes acute respiratory failure. And they had Grace on it for 4 full days before her last day, which is illegal by itself.
And she was COVID positive at the time, correct?
Say that again, please.
She was COVID positive at the time, correct?
Correct. Yeah, so that's why we took her in, was she was COVID positive.
So it's contraindicated. Wouldn't it be contraindicated to give something that attacks the lungs and give somebody something that suppresses lung function? Just asking as a non-doctor.
No, that's of course right. That's why I'm saying serial killers. I mean, I have finally got to the point in my mind where I believe this was premeditated. At the beginning, you can hardly believe it yourself, even though it's your daughter. But now I have over 600 hours of research in this, and I'm going on record to say I personally believe this is premeditated. And, you know, so that's why, you know, when there's serial killers on the loose, you have an obligation to keep sharing the story.
This is a painful story to hear and a painful story to hear details of. And this is going to be a painful question that I ask you, Scott. under the circumstances in light of our litigious society. And we do believe in free speech. As horrific as the story you're telling, how do you make the leap from what happened in your case to serial killers? Do you have evidence of other cases in which the same thing happened in numerous amounts? A serial killer, somebody who kills a lot of people. What do you want us to take away from this? And
sure, I'll have two points. So the reason I say that is we have been contacted by numerous people since the website has got traction. 2 weeks ago, a lady on the East Coast contacted us. Her 37-year-old Down syndrome daughter was killed in the hospital. She called sobbing. She had just gotten the records and reviewed them and found out that the hospital put an illegal DNR on her 2 days after she was admitted. I mean, that's sickening. The stats are starting to come out. Disabled females are 11 times, just process this, 11 times more likely to die in a hospital when they've been admitted for COVID compared to non-disabled females. So you put two and two together, and there's a financial incentive to do it because the disabled are on Medicaid and the elderly are on Medicare. And when the veil is finally lifted from this nightmare, we're going to find out that there was a strategic initiative to take out the disabled and the elderly. And it's starting to surface now. That's why
terrifying
serial killers.
Terrifying. I have made the case that we are living in a time in which life is being cheapened, that life means nothing, and that there are truly arrogant totalitarians who think they get to decide who lives and who dies. With all of this, this is overwhelming information. What do you want listeners to do?
What I want listeners to do is to wake up. You know, we're awake right now. We were asleep, and we're sharing this story so that listeners wake up. And if this story pricks your heart, and you see that the government is not your friend and they've duped you, I would say bluntly, that's God trying to call you back to himself. He doesn't want anybody to perish. And this story of grace loved our Lord. And this story of grace is really meant to get the word out, the gospel message out, so people realize time is urgent. You know, things are happening at such a fast pace in this society. Grace's case with the hospital killings is only one small tentacle. But we're awake to that tentacle, and that's our platform right now. And I think the platform is going to get substantially bigger.
You apparently believe that this was also religiously motivated. Now, you probably know I'm not a Christian. I'm Jewish, and I tend to say I put the Judeo-Christian. But it's not specific to, let me put it this way. If you're living in a situation in which life is cheap and other people are appointing themselves the deciders of life and death, and we see this in the abortion question and a good many others, the same left that loves abortion loves euthanasia as well, and they make no secret of it, then Grace's story is really merely a harbinger of the cultural times in which we're living. So what can people do if they are awake?
What they can specifically do if they're awake is to research who is been bought by the government and who hasn't been ahead of time. Assume that someday in your life you're going to end up in an emergency room, and the time to vet out the emergency room is not when you're laying there and they want to admit you. You need to vet these situations out ahead of time and get connected with medical professionals who are on board morally with your own convictions. And that's got to be done now. It's so urgent. And so I can't encourage people enough to do that. You know, we would not step foot in a hospital again unless we knew that the hospital was safe, because most of them have been bought.
And that alone, if you're right, has ramifications far and wide all over the place. 'Cause you're talking about, a government which not so long ago wanted to take over one-sixth of the economy and healthcare, and now we're finding out just how responsible they are when they do have control, if this is all true. So, and we're finding it out through the pandemic that we just got through watching, in which many, many people lost loved ones to a variety of questionable medical techniques that were forced upon them. Any thoughts about that?
Well, of course, I agree with you 100%. You started saying if this is true, which I think is a fantastic challenge. And, you know, your audience doesn't know me from Adam, but this is why we have taken the time to put the website together. Everything that I have said, all the documents supporting every single thing that I said are listed on the website on Grace's OurAmazingGrace.net. That website is exhaustive. And so all 600 hours of research, less a few things that we're holding back for the lawsuit, are posted on the website. So you can connect the dots yourself. And you're right. Once you believe this, it has to cause you to take action. Otherwise, you don't believe it.
Well, there are a lot of things that we're watching today, which if you pay attention, you are almost required to look at things in a different way. And that's very difficult for people who, all of us long for the time in America where life was sacred, where government was limited, where, people held themselves personally accountable. And, forgive me waxing philosophic, but these kinds of things have serious and far-reaching ramifications for all of us, not just your family. And we are so sorry that Grace's life was thought to be just so unimportant. And that's just a tragedy. Tell everybody where they can find your website and learn more about how they can, I hope, protect themselves and decide for themselves if this is true or not. It's up to every individual to make those determinations for themselves.
Thanks, Karen. Yes, the website is OurAmazingGrace.net, and there's a number of resources that you can link to that will help you prepare. I would say that this idea of longing for the American dream, I was falling trapped to that, and one of those things is trusting the white coat. And because of that, Grace is dead, because I trusted the white coat. And I don't want anybody to do that anymore. That's why we're out there every single day sharing this word.
And we are so sorry for your loss. Thank you, Scott Shara, for giving us an update there. We so appreciate it. Well, that does it for this week on Spouting Off Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tune in tomorrow. Just go to my website, KarenCataline.com, for another episode at 1 p.m. Take care.